Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I just called Tuesday. You know what? I think that is just up to 90 all over. We're starting with a yawn. Welcome to 90.
Sorry. High energy. I'm actually grand. You know the way sometimes, but sometimes you do just yawn because it's not to do with tiredness. It's to do
the company.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say oxygen levels, but yeah, we can go with the company. How are you? Tell me what you were doing yesterday, please.
So yesterday I went to Cork. I was doing I was doing an Irish thing. Asquilga and all the rest. So went down to the lovely Cork, big fan of Cork. It was so nice to be in a city. Do you know, it's just been so long.
Was this for TG Carr? It was not.
It was for RTE. Do you know what? It was just now a once-off little episode. They're doing a documentary series. And they asked me to just do like a few minutes on it or whatever, but they were so, so nice. But sure, I felt like such an idiot, Emma, because I didn't do a Google on your man who'd gotten in touch about doing it. And it was only when I was having a chat with him before and I was like, oh my God, he's done so much. So it was one of those things. Maybe I was better off not doing a Google. You know, you go down and
You didn't know you should have been brown nosing from the start. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, really should have been lick arsing from the top. So zero lick arsing happening. And then he was talking about a documentary he did, Asquilga, on Philip Cairns. I was like, hang on a minute. Because, of course, I had watched that in preparation for our Crimeland on Philip Cairns. So I had this moment of, fuck. So I ran to the loo and did a quick Google. And I was like, Julie, Jesus. You should have been saying, the second you saw this man, you should have been flirting from the second you met him. But it was great, a lot of fun. Talking about love, which is something I'm quite an expert on, I'm sure we'll all agree. Was asked the big question, what is love? And I wasn't sure how to respond. What do you think love is? What is it?
It's like a rose, isn't it?
Okay. Okay, Seal, continue.
Some people say it's like a hunger.
A hunger?
Yeah.
I love the way, you know, most people, if I ask them what is love, they would define it as something positive. But Emma's like, I think you could describe it as a bit of a hunger.
It's a song, isn't it? Some say love. It is a river. Just some shite massy song. I think it's a mass song.
Do you know what? Mass had some bangers.
Oh my God, I was in a choir when I was 10 or 11. We had some great tunes and I'm talking about ones you've never heard of, right? And we made...
Hang on, let's see how I never heard them. Challenge accepted.
Are you ready?
Go.
We are one in the spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the spirit, we are one in the Lord. You've never heard of that. We had a big, huge booklet of songs. We used to learn loads of songs. And I'm pretty sure sorry, this is a fucking exclusive. I'm pretty sure we put down tracks. We made an album in the school hall. And I think we had one day in some sort of recording studio somewhere. I don't know, listener, get in touch if you were in that choir down in Ballyroan Parish. And don't think any of us actually got a copy of this fucking album, but it was good times anyway. And that was how it all started for me. Well, it was, but my first break was the Jokebox. But anyway, the singing career was short-lived, but it was enjoyable, you know what I mean? That was my Mickey Mouse Club. Do you know what I'm saying?
And you, of course. But I mean, that was quite a big deal. So you were recording tracks left, right and centre. You were on RTÉ's Jokebox. You were destined for stardom. Like none of the success that you have enjoyed, none of this comes as a surprise for me, because you were just set up for fame.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I don't know why I just remember that choir thing now. That's fucking bizarre. But, you know,
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned the choir before.
I honestly don't know. I think it just came out of my brain there for some reason. No, it did. It defo did. Because what happened was big shout out to Sarah Harmon was in it, a few other heads. And what happened was Sarah Harmon had kind of started her career off doing a bit of altar serving. And she was putting the soft sell on to me. And in fairness, now I was inquiring about it. And she was like, you get a few quid if it's like, you know, a wedding or a christening or something like that. And she also said that, you know, the odd time, I assume like at Easter, like, you know, the big bits, they'd go like to bowling. They go bowling and quasar. I don't know if they did the quasar.
Do you remember when we all had to pretend that we were into bowling? And quasar, do you know what? There was always a young priest who wanted to take you to quasar.
I don't know now. Yeah, I don't know if they did the quasar with them, but they went bowling anyway and they got a bit of food. And I was like, oh yeah, but I didn't sign up for the altar servant. I don't think that would have gone down too well at home. Obviously, well, my mom isn't churchy, but my dad liked the old church. But I think even he'd be like, you'd want to fucking not be getting into the altar serving. So, yeah. But anyway, she kind of put me on to like that there was shit going down at the church. You know what I mean? There was stuff happening.
Yeah.
There was a bit of activity. You know, like basically for me, it was somewhere on the Sunday to have to go with your parallel pants and your cork, you know, little, like the tiny little heel on them boots. It was somewhere to kind of get a new audience for them. Were you never in a choir, a church choir or anything like
that? No. So we've talked about this confirmation choir. I was the only hearing child not in the confirmation choir. Yeah. But I mean, I do think Mass was definitely a time when, you could throw on the parallel pants. Like Saturday night Mass, that was a time for spotting for sure.
Yeah, you see, like my mom didn't go to Mass at all, and if she did, it might be for like a Mass for somebody who died or whatever. Like, obviously she went to the funerals and all this, but you know, like a month's mind or whatever.
It's hard to get your Mickey Mouse on at a month's mind.
Yeah, but she wouldn't go and get communion. So I used to go to Mass with my dad. And then as we got older, we were like, we still had to go to Mass, but we were allowed to go to Mass on our own. So you could like hang down the back and just.
Yeah. And you could leave after communion. Yeah. That always made you feel like a real rebel.
That was cool. And I don't know why the fuck he was so adamant about us going to Mass. I suppose it was just that thing of having grown up in the cult stuff. Catholic Church, he probably thought it was a good idea for us to go and do that. But I'm not sure exactly when that all came to a halt. I don't know, maybe 16. I'd say the old teenage pregnancy probably put a bit of a spanner in the works, but I think it was before that. Maybe that's why I got pregnant. I don't know. Because I stopped receiving Christ. I don't know.
I know. You did start receiving something else. Well, hey!
Yeah. And I don't think it was about, you know, misuse of contraception. I think it was about that I wasn't receiving the Holy Spirit. I think that's probably what it was. So, my granny was, my dad's mom used to go to Mass every single day. She was fucking mad for Mass, like mad for it. Every day, every single day. Imagine that.
I mean, that's like, you know, you've got a problem if you're going to Mass every day.
she had a problem. She didn't smoke, she didn't drink. And you know what? The odd drink would have sorted her out. She would have just got, oh, I'm not getting up for that mass now. And it just would have, do you know what I mean? Like, I know drink is, there's a lot of negatives, but there's a lot of positives too. And I think, maybe not drink, maybe if she just had the odd spliff, I think I just would have fucking chilled her out. And she would have just realized that, like, maybe, like, if I just got out in nature and connected with the world that way, rather than baiting it up to the church every day.
Yeah.
Like, she'd have a mass a day at least.
Wow. You know what they say, a mass a day keeps Satan away. I think my favorite mass tune was definitely Be Not Afraid.
Yeah, it's a good
one. Absolute banger. Be not afraid.
Don't leave me hanging.
How was that not remixed into a dance track?
Yeah, I don't know.
I will give you rest. I used to always kind of orchestrate it so I'd be standing near the person I fancied so I could shake hands with them at the sign of peace.
That was always the
top tip. So we had a great day in Cork yesterday, and my poor mother, you heard how I lost my keys. So mom had a spare key. So my mom and dad, currently up in Kildare, of course, my mom had to meet me in Limerick to give me the spare car key because I've the old NCT this week. So I had to get the car key.
Really?
That's the first hurdle in an NCT. They ask if you have a car key. You don't want to fail that one. So I met mom in Adair and got the car key. And yesterday I found the keys. Guess where they were?
Is in the Ted's buggy or something.
In the door.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I know, my poor mother. I know. But she was delighted to see Ted. So we took Ted.
Of course.
Yeah. So it was actually nice in a way. Because we're going off to Kells today to see Fred's parents because they're both fully vaccinated. Yeah. So I'd probably be a bit emotional for Fred, I'd imagine, because you know the way they haven't got to hang with Ted. So it'll be nice for them for sure. For them to all hang out. Yeah, it'll be great.
But deadly. So it was just when you said NCT, I'm surprised you got a date for yours. Because mine was due ages ago. But there's no chance of that happening anytime soon. Like, in fairness, it wouldn't be happening anytime soon anyway. But because let's face it, if you have the tax and insurance, you will be grand. The guards aren't gonna get mad about you.
Well, a friend of mine.
They hate you, but
hey,
they're always stopping you.
They're always stopping me, but that's usually because my exhaust pipe is hanging off, etc. I have a lot of growl for the guards. I know we've covered this ground before, but a friend of mine had a terrible experience where she was followed, sirens blazing, because her tax was out.
Well, that's what I just said. I said, have your tax and insurance done. Don't worry about your NCT.
Did you see about Chrissy Teigen?
No, what's she up to now?
Well, I just was curious because you had pointed this out a few weeks ago when we touched upon Chrissy Teigen, and I said something relatively innocuous, like, I don't think she's that bad. I'm quite fond of Chrissy or something to that effect. But I would liken it to when I went through a phase as a child and I would tell people I supported Man United, and then people would ask me to name a player and I'd be like, hang on a minute, what is this, the Spanish interrogation?
How dare you?
That's my business, who a player is. That's my business, just so you know. Obviously, I made this general sweeping statement with no information whatsoever. And then you pointed out that she had been quite mean to Courtney Stodden.
Yeah.
So the old tweets have since been resurrected, and they're pretty bad. So Courtney Stodden, really? She said in this interview with the Daily Beast that Chrissy had actually told her that she should kill herself and that she'd be, now hang on, I have this here. Oh yeah. My Friday fantasy, you dirt nap, baby. Now, did you know what a dirt nap was?
No, what's a dirt nap?
So I thought a dirt nap was when you went for a nap, but you didn't take your mascara off. But it turns out it's like referring to death. And then Courtney Stodden talked about the fact that she had messaged her telling her that she would be happy when she died and that she hated her, etc. So people were doing the maths on it and saying that at the time, Chrissy was 26 and Courtney was 16. And that this was fairly gross, because obviously, you know, I mean, to say that to anyone, but especially a 16-year-old is pretty bad. So Chrissy was trending on Twitter as of last night. Yeah,
because of what I saw a couple of videos about it and articles, and like, obviously, you know, everyone can have an opinion about somebody, and you know, if you have an opinion about somebody in the public eye and you're like, she's a fucking melt, or you know, God, would she ever fuck off, or whatever, you know, I suppose it comes across as quite negative, but that's one thing. But what she was doing was, she was fucking trolling, she was bullying her. Like, that's a different thing.
Oh yeah, well, it was it felt like harassment.
Yeah, totally.
Actually, I happened upon, and like, obviously, you know, you don't want to be slamming the woman completely, but I think it's hard to excuse that kind of behavior, to be honest. I just can't imagine anyone in my life that I, you know, that I'm friendly with, or you know, that I have any respect for whatsoever, actually engaging in that kind of behavior. It's just insane. And then somebody actually shared this video, and I do hate an old pylon, but I thought it was kind of funny within that context, where John Legend is at it. Have you seen this, where he's on the Zoom call with Jennifer Aniston and Julia Roberts and like a load of other people, and Chrissy Teigen happens upon him, and she's in the background, and she's like, hey, I'm just hanging with the house, blah blah blah, I'm just chilling in the house. And Julia Roberts is like, is that what you wear when you're just chilling in the house? That's what I wear to like an Oscars brunch. And I was kind of cringing for Chrissy.
That is bad. It's actually it's a real thing, like, it's real passive aggressive
of Julia Roberts, to be honest. I was surprised.
No, that's what I mean. Fired. That's what I mean. And it's like, men do it as well, but I think women they get a degree in it by the time like they're four. Because you know the way lots of times we've talked about on the old audios, you'd say something to himself about something. They're like, I don't see a problem. And you're like, you don't get the subtlety of this. Like, I remember when I was in college, I think it was me and Martha. Maybe it was like, there was three of us that hung out, like, obviously we all hung out, but there was three of us that were like, you know, the palsies. And it was me, Martha, and Ashing. And when we went to college every day, we would be like, we were probably like the only ones that took it very, like, took it like seriously, if you know what I mean. Like, obviously I did, because my mom was at home, my Janella, and they were just like, they just, I don't know why they took it seriously. They probably look back and say that was a fucking waste of time. But anyway, we would always go to college, and we would be like, we would get ready, you know, get ready in the morning and then go to college. And I remember a girl saying to us, like, God, she's like, always have makeup on. And you know me, like, I wouldn't be wearing like mad heavy makeup or anything. But she was like, you always have makeup on.
Such a dig.
Such a fucking dig. And I said to her, I said, well, I was like, by the time I get to college, I was like, I've already been up for fucking hours as like getting Ella ready, so And then she's like, oh yeah, I suppose. But it was a dig. It was basically like, and all we were doing was like fucking having showers, putting on clothes, and like, you know, putting like, you know, everyday effort into our appearance. But it was real, it was pure fucking dig. It was like, oh, look at you fucking swanning in here. Like, you swear we were going in with fucking like full face, the lashes, boob tubes, the whole shebang. And even if we were, so fucking what, you stupid bitch. But
the good news is you're over it, which is, you know what I mean? No, it is. There's always,
I've done it myself, not about the makeup, but I've done it. Like, obviously we've all done it to people where you've said something like, oh, do you? Oh, okay. No, it's just nothing, you know, we've all,
and it was,
but it's
funny,
a dig.
It is a dig, and it's
not
funny
to draw attention to, but it's
Yeah, I thought that was kind of, I did cringe for Chrissy on that one, but she's obviously,
it is cringe. Well, like, but the whole thing
now at the moment with these, I mean, that whole, I know we have touched upon Courtney Stodden before, but like the whole situation, it's insane to me that she was such media fodder for so long. It's very sad. And it's so recent. You know, you'd be talking about Monica Lewinsky being, you know, being shamed in the 90s. But you're, this is like so recent again. It's ridiculous.
Well, like, obviously, when Courtney came out and we were we teenagers or early 20s? Probably early 20s, were we? I remember we were all just like, what the fuck is the story? But the majority of it was aimed towards her. Like, don't get me wrong, we were all like, what the fuck is the story with Doug? But for her, we were just like, what is going on? Because do you remember, like, in the early interviews with Doug, she was literally going around the place like as if she was sitting on a fucking vibrator. It was just insane. You know, like, she just used, just the way she used to be, she couldn't sit still. She was constantly just like fucking touching him, just like as if she was fucking getting aroused or whatever. It was all insane. But even at that time, when we're like, obviously, we're just like fucking all these ones living in Ireland, nobody'd be fucking writing shit online to you. Or like, there was an element, like, obviously we're all, you know, learning and growing and whatever. And if it wouldn't fucking happen now, but even at that time, I think we were all like, there was still that element of like, Jesus, I hope she's okay. And like, what, her mom and dad fucking allowed this, like, they signed, they obviously had to sign the marriage certificate or whatever way it fucking works. But like, Chrissy, but was the like 26 was mad
after court. What was the mom was the one who was mad after Doug and living vicariously through her daughter. It was just so,
but like, Chrissy, like, awful. Obviously 26, was fucking well set up by that stage. She'd gone through modeling, like, she'd gone through the fucking industry, so she'd probably seen a fucking lot of shit herself, or gone through a lot of shit herself at that point. But I'm not sticking up for her, but at the same time, you know, there definitely has to be an element there of that she was a product of her environment. So she obviously must have experienced getting vilified for something. So she was like, well, if I got, you know, vilified for doing this or punished for doing that, it's that thing of, well, like, she has to be as well, because that's how it works. And that helps me deal with what happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, female misogyny, like, that's what it's about. Or, like, you know, like,
oh, but sure, we all
there was
have
all these like female Trump supporters. It's because they have bought into that system as well, because that's what they've been taught. So I mean, if that falls apart, what the fuck is going on? What is my belief system? What was it all fucking for? The shite that I had to put up with, what the fuck did I do it for if I'm not going to get rewarded for it? So, and like, not to stick up for her, but there's obviously a huge element of that. But like, has she not, she's never actually fucking apologized to the woman, has she?
I don't think so. I don't think you so see, no.
Well, then, I mean, that's,
I that think needs a lot, to be addressed. I think a lot can be forgiven when people are genuinely contrite, especially when it comes to, you know, the likes of Twitter, etc. But I do feel, it did kind of feel like a bit sustained just looking at the tweets. Yeah. And it is hard. You know, somebody can throw, actually Shane Clifford was talking about this week about, I think a girl in her early 20s made, you know, a not very nice and a not very funny joke either about homeless people vaccinating themselves or whatever, you know, and obviously it was a bit off, you know, I mean, not particularly funny, but she then got completely destroyed on Twitter. And Shane made the point that, like, okay, the joke is quite hack. A lot of people may have made this joke previously. There's nothing new in this joke, but also we are just effectively pining on somebody in their early 20s. But I think the difference here is, based on the tweets now that I've seen, and you're presuming they're legitimate, but maybe they're not, it just did feel a bit sustained. And that's the problem with misogyny, is that we all have, sure, like, we're all just onions constantly revealing another layer of internalized misogyny. And I definitely think there's an element of, it's kind of like, I know this maybe is a funny analogy to make, but you know, people are always giving out about the housing problem and the housing crisis. But then the second people get a gaff, they care less about it because they're not as invested. So they kind of have this attitude of, well, yes, I know it's, you know, it's really tough out there, but look, I played the game and I got my gaff, and that's what you should do. So I think it's the same mentality when it comes to misogyny, because you kind of think, yeah, it's shit and yeah, it's crap, but look, I played the game and that's what you should do. And there is an element of that always. And then, as you say, people kind of grasping, I suppose you want to believe you want to believe in the system because you've been part of it for so long. So to accept that this is actually really fecked up, the whole thing is messed up, is to unravel the entire narrative, which is a bit scary in itself.
Yeah. And do you know what, just as you were saying that there, it reminded me. So when I had Ella, I remember my dad saying to me, oh, like, so you can get lone parents allowance. And I didn't know that I would be eligible for that or whatever. So I fucking signed up, and they come out to your gaff to fucking ask you questions and check up. But obviously it was very clear in my situation that I was just a fucking teenager living with my parents, but other people, they'd be checking to see if they actually are living with their partner or what their setup is or whatever, right? So anyway, blah, blah, blah. I go on to college and go, like, you know, work various places or whatever. But the amount of times that I have been in conversations with people about single mothers getting houses and fucking scamming the system and the whole shebang, and I would then have to remind them that, you know, and Ella may have been there fucking running around, I would have to remind them, hello, I am one of those single mothers you're referring to. And they'd say things like, you know, the general gist of it would be, oh, like, no, I'm not talking about you. So they had an idea in their head for this imaginary character who in their mind was a single mother who worked the system, was fucking getting money left, right and center, not paying tax, getting all her allowances, getting these fucking amazing gaffes or whatever, and her life was fucking absolutely peachy. Obviously there are people that work the system, and to be honest, anyone I know now who's getting cash in hand and is getting something, or anyone who I've known who has done that, it's been for a period of time to get them out of a hole. And I'd be like, fucking fair play to them, because the system isn't designed in such a way that you just get just enough to keep you off the poverty line. It is not enough that, you know, these, like, oh, he's fucking on the dole and here he is fucking in his Lamborghini or whatever. If people are doing things that aren't legal or criminal, the last thing they want to do is be getting fucking allowances to be on the system and to draw attention to themselves.
But yeah, it's like,
we're all guilty of this. We're all guilty of this. Or people talk about, like, social housing. But then it's a case of, like, but I want that in an imaginary place, not near me. But for social housing to actually work and be beneficial, it needs to be integrated into all different types of housing and be in, you know, an area where they have amenities and all the fucking rest of it. But we are all, like, we all have these, you know, prejudices in our minds, whatever. And I think, you know, as long as you try and, like, learn from them, and if you need to apologize to people, apologize for people or whatever. Like, obviously I don't have the same opinions about shit or whatever as I did when I was 26, like fucking Chrissy, but she should just fucking apologize to them. Like, or even the way Sarah Silverman did with Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
You know, like, she just apologized.
I thought that was nice.
And at first, I don't think she actually had to apologize, because it was, you know, the fact that it was comedy or stand-up, it kind of gives you a bit of a license. But I thought it was, and it was again that thing of, like, I know obviously there's been the Paris documentary and stuff, but, like, it's not always a case of the person has to be a whiter than white person, because none of us are whiter than white. We're all multifaceted fucking human beings, and, like, Courtney, I'm sure Courtney is not a fucking, like, she's not whiter than white because she's a fucking living, breathing human being. So, yeah. You know, Chrissy may look at her and say, oh, I don't need to apologize to her. She's not fucking Julia Roberts or Jennifer Aniston or whatever. But, like, you know, it doesn't fucking really matter.
Ben Affleck and Jennifer, it's on. J-Lo.
I saw that ben, the other day. Jennifer. And I feel like I have to apologize to Julie because I just completely fucking wrote it off, didn't I? Although, let's see. Let's just wait and see. Let's see where we're at Christmas. You know what I'm saying? If it's still on a Christmas. But, you know, I saw a picture of them and somebody, I don't know where I saw it, but somebody made a comment of, like, Jesus, he already looks more attractive. He fucking does. He fucking did. What is it about when men, like, it's terrible, but when they're beside attractive women, they instantly look more attractive. It was actually, I think it was a tweet. I wish I knew who it was, but it was something like, I'd say that phoenix tattoo is just like disappearing off his back, like the photograph in Back to the Future. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was actually pretty funny.
But well, she's definitely signed great. Him up. Yeah, no, he did. But you know, before they left the gap, Jennifer was like,
you'd like a bit of him. Yeah. And I was like, no. And then I'm like, fuck, he's not looking too bad.
He's not. He's looking well. But you know, before he left the gaff, Jennifer was like, why didn't you wear this jacket? Like, you know, Jennifer would just do it all very cleverly. Like, before he knew it, she has completely changed his outfit, dispensed with the can of Coke, and he's looking good.
And Jennifer's the kind of woman who knows the exact right amount of stubble. You know, like, there's a very fine line. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a fan of stubble either way. I love beards. Like, anything. I'm all, like, the real thing that I want Jane to grow someday, and, like, he will, but I want, like, the 70s, like, handlebar mustache. And, I mean, let's not even go into that. That's a fucking can of worms. But she knows how to, like, but male grooming, it actually takes so fucking little to be, like, do you know the way, even, like, when you go to a wedding and, like, the fellas put on the aftershave and a suit and all the girls are like, oh my god, like, fucking woo, look at him, the little ride, and he's literally just put on a suit and had a wash.
Like, yeah, well, it's the wash factor, isn't it?
You're, and you're over there and you're after
washing fucking, for me,
you're after, like, power blasting your fucking hulls. Ugh. You know what I mean? Being in prep for like 4 months for this fucking wedding.
I know, you're wearing it. You're wearing you're wearing a maxi dress and you go for the spray tan and you're like, well, look, I'm wearing a maxi dress, so maybe I should tan my boobs as well, just in case. Like, none of it makes any sense.
It doesn't. None of it makes any fucking sense.
Yeah. Or you're like, my skirt, it's actually down to my knees, so I'm going to need a full Hollywood, if that's okay. Like, it's just...
Oh, my God. And you know what I'm looking forward to? Like, the feet. Do you remember the feet at a wedding or a night out? Like, I don't do it as much as I obviously did back in the day, but fuck me. Your feet would be... You know what you'd say to the fella, like, you'd say, my feet are killing me, like, we need to leave immediately. They'd be just like, oh, her feet are sore. Like, they've no idea.
None.
Like, your feet are basically have a fucking, like, it's like your feet have a fucking severe migraine. That is the only way to
describe it. Yeah, I know. You're walking along, like, what was the name of that dinosaur that would be walking on the, you know, the two hind legs? Like, you're walking around like a
T-Rex.
Yeah, or a T-Rex.
You know, way you take off, did you ever take off the shoe early on in the night on the table and you think you're doing great?
That's a rookie error.
You go to put it back on.
And you've got a club foot.
You're fucking getting married. I know we said it last week, but now it's like, it's a bidding war between RSVP and VIP.
Exclusive. I know, it was kind of funny. It's gas because I did that lovely interview with Gas, the old Gossies, did an interview with the lovely Sophie. But I did have to laugh because obviously the headline exclusive, it does suggest that people were vying for this information. Which,
but who is exclusive? How did Sophie find out about this?
Well, we had a chat. She gave me a bell. We had a chat, and it's funny because then you actually click into the article, and the word I would use is inane. I know we said last week, kind of Ben Affleck is synonymous with underwhelming in terms of his cinematic career. I still think he's pretty writable, but it's an underwhelming article purely because I give no information. Well, there is nothing to say. It's just me saying, yeah, we're just going to keep it family. We'll probably have Ted there if we can't get childcare, and we're just going to do a lunch and be done by 3. Like, that's the information. Like, the exclusive is we're thinking about getting rings. Like, that's what we're thinking about getting.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, so it's just family, it's a legal thing, it's a lunch. Emma's just, you know, belting out a few tunes in her parallel pants. As my dad would say, she's amazing, isn't she? Her colouring. I feel quite heartened about J-Lo and Ben having a little fling in the mountains, because I just think the millennium is back. I'm loving it.
Yeah, why not?
I dusted it off the turquoise eyeshadow, and it's happening. It's on.
I'm getting the belts back out. I've belts there Those that I've belts kept were for great. A rainy day, and they're like, coming back now.
Because back in the day, you'd say, is that girl, does she have a tiny waist or does she just have a huge belt?
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Sienna Miller. Do you remember Sienna Miller got us into those gladiator belts and the cowboy boots?
I'm going to wear
all of that.
I think I'm going to ease myself in, and I'm going to layer, I think, 3 string tops. And then next week I'll add a 4th, and, you know, hopefully by Halloween I'll be wearing 12 string tops layered. And I'll have, oh my God, you know what I saw the other day? So Jerry put up a thing that her debut single, Look at Me, was 22 years old.
No, and
I went to have a look at the video on YouTube, because, you know, it's a pretty iconic music video. And you know the bit where, like, Jerry goes into the coffin, like, you know, Ginger Spice is dead or whatever. And then anyway, I saw her performance on Top of the Pops, and she was like, she had the long blonde hair, she was wearing all black, and then she had one of those slouchy bolero cardigans, a pink one. And I was like, oh my God, do you remember them? What the
boleros?
They were something but else, you know what? And you'd have about 20 of them.
You had about 20 of them, but you know what? Yeah. I think there was a place for a bolero, because if you asked me what body part would I be most reticent in exposing, it would be my arms. What is it with Irish women and the discomfort they feel about their own arms?
I think it's just because they never have, for like 11 and a half months of the year, their arms have no exposure to natural daylight. And it's just a scary thing for them to be let out into the wild, because they just don't experience. That's not what they were made for. They were made for knitting Aran sweaters and digging fields and
carrying potatoes on the back.
Yeah, and hooping children up onto your hip. That's what the Irish woman's arms were made for. They weren't made for little summery tops. It's just not.
I can remember being stopped
for.
I remember being stopped in the street. Well, I was with a girl, a friend of mine, who was stopped in the street for, I think it was You magazine style. She was probably wearing a bolero. Let's face it, it was 2004.
On Grafton Street. You magazine. She's probably fucking still dining out on that now.
Oh yeah, it's actually in her
rightly Instagram so.
But in that within that 5-minute window, I don't know how it came up in conversation, but this friend of mine said that she really liked her arms. I just could not get over it. I remember going back to college, back into the arts building, and I was just like, I can't get over how confident she is. She's just after telling this stranger on the street that she likes her own arms. friend of mine I said this to, yeah. He was like, but she, look, well, the friend of mine I said this to, he was like, well, you know why I think that is? So she's from Belfast. I think it's like they just have a certain confidence up there.
They do. And they're defo more glamorous.
Do they like their own arms? Defo more glamorous for sure. Like they're not walking like raptors at weddings. Whereas us down here in the south, we're forcing those feet, our troll feet, our hooves into shoes, walking around. We're like, by the time we hit the Prosecco reception, we're like T-Rexes about the place. So definitely, I think in Northern Ireland, they're better at the glam.
Yes. Oh, 100%. 100%. There's just less Catholic guilt up there. That's what's going on there.
Yeah.
It's like in Derry Girls where they, when they do that thing of, you remember, they do the differences between Catholics and Protestants and they're trying to find the similarities and they're just shouting up, Catholics have more freckles.
And we do have more freckles for sure.
It's just the way it is.
But, Frank got a new mic and he told me the reason he went for the more expensive mic was that you can have four people on the mic at any one time. I was like, Fred, when are we going to actually be around four people?
I think you need to get, I know the wedding is happening in December, but I think you need to fast track this because it sounds as if Fred is planning for you guys to be in a polygamous relationship or something. What else could be fucking going on there?
Do you think that's what's happening here?
I think that is what's happening. I mean, the signs are there. I thought he was going to go off with Katia.
Who's Katia?
Is that not his girl that he meets, the dancer, and him and this Polish one do the big spread?
No, oh yeah, name? I had for, well, Julia was his dance partner in Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, but you remember
the Katia. Yes, I forgot about Katia. Yeah, speaking of glam.
Remember Ted was going to be in the dungarees and dressed up like Ed Sheeran. And
he's so cute at the moment, Ted. We're calling him Tedrick.
That's nice.
Yeah, which is, he's just so doughty. I'm just so obsessed with him. He's just, my little squidge. I love him so much. Anyway, come here. Right. People who can't import the Patreon. We have Grace. We have Anna. We have Rachel. We have Viva. We have Fabiana. We have Cliff. We have Fafa. Just a reminder, guys, that on the 28th of May, we have a special Q&A with Sophie White. We're doing for our book club. It's going to be Zoom live and we're doing Corpsing by Sophie White. So you still have a couple of weeks to get the book, join up, all the rest. It's great old crack. We do it once a month. So do get involved. Thank you so much for listening to Up to 90. I've been Julie J.
I've been Emma Doran.
I could sense you were going to say something else there. I've been, but you stopped yourself.
I did. And I do that most times because I think of, I begin to start to think of something clever to call myself. Like, I don't know, Vianetta or something. Vianetta Doran. But it's just, and then I just decide now it's not funny and I just say my own name. So that's it.
Good girl. Big love.
All right. God bless patrons. Love you as always. And the other people, I'm fond of you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.